welcome to this Sunday Morning Meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Now, if you want to turn in your Bibles to be ready, we're going to read from 1 Peter in a little while. So you can flip through, it's at the back. Have your thumb ready. And if you like, you can even have your thumb ready for another one, because you've got two thumbs, you won't be able to do anything else. But you can put another one into 2 Samuel 23 as well. I'm going to do something at the beginning, that whenever I tell somebody about speaking here, I tell them, don't do this, and I'm going to break my own rules. Because I say, one of the things you should never do is start with an apology. But I'm going to start with an apology. And the apology is for this. I'm going to tell a joke that I've told before. I'm sorry, but it's a good one. I like it. And in fact, if you've been around me just recently, I've told it twice just recently. So double apologies. But it's absolutely spot on for what I want to say to you all this morning. And if you've never been here before, well, bonus. First time. Okay, so this one is the one about the old chap. Do you remember him? He was the guy that was looking to retire and buying this lovely semi-detached in Scarborough. Okay, and he's looking out for this beautiful house, and he finds one, and he thinks, this is it. This is the one I can retire to. This is the one where I can lie in the garden and enjoy the Scarborough sunshine most of the year. And just enjoy life. And he goes through and he puts an offer in. But as he's doing this, some of the neighbours get to hear of this bloke buying the house, and they say to him, look, listen, you don't want that house. And the guy says, well, why? And he says, and they say to him, well, it's right next door to the primary school. Mega hassle when the school's there. So much noise. If you're talking about lying out in your garden and enjoying your glass of whatever, you're not going to enjoy it, because come 3 o'clock, they all empty out. There's so much noise. It's really unpleasant. You won't like it. Well, the old man thinks about it and says, oh, I think I can deal with that. That's no problem. And so he moves in. And he moves in during the school summer holidays, and he enjoys his sunbathing. He's there every day, just like John, and enjoying his pina colada. He was doing it yesterday, you know. But anyway, he's out there lying in the sun, and it's great. But come the beginning of September, it happens. And there's a particular problem with three boys. And every time they come down the street, they find some sticks, because boys always find sticks. What is it with boys and sticks? It's probably why Daniel plays drums. But anyway, they get some sticks, and they get these sticks, and they bash them on the dustbins as they go down the street. And the noise is horrendous. Well, worse than that. Think of Dan playing. I love you really, Dan. And the drums. Now, anyway, and then they bash on this, and this noise, it happens every night. So the old man comes up with a plan. And one night, or the next night, when the boys come out of school, skipping, jumping, sticks banging, the old man is there by the dustbins. And he says, boys, I've got a business proposition for you. And the boys sort of look at him a bit surprised. He said, yeah, I really love the drumming on the dustbins. At this, they look a little puzzled. It wasn't their first reaction expected. He said, yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. In fact, I like it so much, I'd like to pay you to do it. So would it be okay if every time you come out of school and bang on the dustbins, if you come to me, I'll give you £1 each. Is that a deal? And the boys think, sure, that's a deal. So off they go. Next night, out they come. Bang, 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 bong. Okay. The bong was a small dustbin. And they get there, and the old man's there, and he says, yep, sure, here you go, boys, £1 each. Fantastic. Next night, bang, 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 bong. And the man's there, and he gives them £1 each. Next night, he gets there, he says, boys, I'm really sorry, I've got some bad news. The pension's not quite what I thought it was going to be. But I'll pay you 50p to bang on the dustbins for me. And the boys sort of think, look at him, and all right then, yeah, okay. So they come out next night, bang, 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 bong. Okay, 50p, bang, 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 bong, 50p. And this goes on for 2-3 nights. Old man's there. Next night they come out, he says, boys, got some even worse news. He said, I can only pay you, because of my pension, 10p each for night to bang on my dustbins. And the boys look at him and say, well, if you think we're going to do it for that, you can think again, mister. Okay, thank you for laughing, because you've read it at least twice. Now, I like that one every time I hear it. But there's an interesting twist in this. And actually, I think the first time I ever told it at KFY was last summer. And I didn't actually ever go into this little extra bit. And I love this little extra bit. Now, you know when Jesus tells parables, he would always... you look at who the characters are in the parable, and they could be God, or they could be a sinner, or they've always got a role, haven't they? And it gives you a spiritual insight. Well, this story is a bit of a parable. And in the story, the wise old man is the devil. And the boys are Christians. Now, you weren't expecting that, were you? Unless you've heard it before, then you might. And what I want to talk to you about this morning is how the devil works in our lives to steal us of the joy that we actually have. Because the boys were happy to bang on dustbins for free. And Christians, they get saved and they love the Lord Jesus and they're jumping up and down and they're rejoicing. That's a particular Eileen one. Okay? And they're jumping up and down and rejoicing. And then suddenly the devil comes along and he pays them for doing what they're doing. I mean, the worship team is a brilliant one. They come up here, jumping around, dancing, playing. It's off, that's good for you. And they're up there jumping around and suddenly someone starts to say thank you to them. Now, thank yous are good. But then comes the time when somebody doesn't say thank you. And the payment goes down from a pound to 50p. It should never get like that, but we do, And it's not just there. It could be bringing the stuff in at the beginning of the day. It could be setting up for teas and coffees, Peter's there doing it nearly every week, or at least organising it, even if he's not here. Well, you organise it, sir. And But then comes the week where Pastor Paul doesn't say, thanks, Peter. And he could quite easily just think, oh, it doesn't matter. Just a little notch off. And suddenly we realise we're not doing these things for the Lord and for the joy of doing them. Yeah? Banging on dustbins, whatever it is. There's other ways the enemy can pay you. It can be with recognition. Sometimes the worst thing you can do, even though we should do it and we should encourage one another, the worst thing you can do is say to Dave, that was fantastic, you went out to India. The worst thing you can do in some ways, sometimes, is to have Dave up the front and give him recognition that he's following the culture of the church. He's doing what we should do as a church. That's wonderful. But as a person, you can take it as payment. Yeah. Recognition is another dangerous one. Whenever you're recognized for something, be on your guard. If you're only doing it, if you do something and nobody says thank you or nobody recognized you were doing it, you were actually doing it with the wrong motive. Because we do everything for the joy of serving the Lord. Yeah. This is a bit tough, isn't it? No, but you see, it's freeing when you realise it. Because you spot it when the enemy gets in. And believe me, the enemy gets in all kinds of ways. I'm not saying I'm perfect here and I miss this out. It happens to me too. And you sort of think, that's the enemy. He's trying to steal my joy. Yeah. Status is another obvious one. You get pastor in front of your name. You think you're being paid something. Take away the title and they don't want to do it anymore. Let's call D youth work on the streets organiser on a Friday when she can, sometimes devoted job to. A bit of a long title, but we're going she could grow to like her title. And then one day we say, actually, D, we're not going to call you that anymore. We're going to call you the lady that wears the green jumper. And she could really regret it. I know this is a stupid example, but you're getting the point. Another one, this is a funny, funny, funny one, and I've seen this in churches, is badges. Mm. One that says steward or host or welcome team, doesn't matter what it says on it, it could say stupid person sometimes. But take that badge away from them, it's like, oh, they don't love me anymore. They don't recognise me anymore. It's amazing how the enemy can reward us and pay us for doing what we do for the love and the joy of the Lord, yeah? Another one, and this is a big one. Maybe you've never thought of this as payment, but another one is offence, okay? Because we like to be offended. Yeah. And you can say, oh, no, I'm saved, I don't. But believe me, sometimes we like to be offended, Because you can sort of moan about it to your best friend. Or maybe you could just share for prayer, And every time you sort of share this offence in a non-offended kind of way, you sort of get that little bit of reward, don't you? Sort of, yeah. And then the people, you sort of say, oh dear, that was awful, wasn't it? That was awful. And it sort of strokes you like a purring cat. Offence is a reward that the enemy pays you with. It makes you feel quite nice. Yeah, it makes you feel a bit better. I'm not saying that it was what the person did to you was wrong. I mean, it might be very, very wrong. Awful things happen to people, and in a sense, you're right to be offended. What they've done, you deserve to be offended, says the devil. Jesus says, well, release them and walk in my freedom, and my joy will be your strength, rather than the joy of being offended. Because there is a sneaky joy in it. Another one, actually, and it's very, very, very closely related, is unforgiveness. Why do people not forgive? Because they enjoy not forgiving them. It gives them a feeling of superiority over that person or self-righteousness. Now, you can take that and you can take it to extreme and say, well, so-and-so, they didn't deserve to be forgiven. No, but that's not the point of it. When people do things to you, they don't deserve to be forgiven. But we didn't deserve to be forgiven by the Lord. We didn't deserve a Saviour to die on a cross. We didn't deserve a Saviour that would rise again and give us the power to live this life. So there's some rewards, and that's really why I wanted to tell that joke, because it just fits in so fantastically and brilliantly well. Now, I want to just move on a little bit here, because I want to talk about the mercy of God and sort of link it in with this. Because in this thing, what I'm saying is there's a being devoted to the Lord. But you can even take devotion as a reward and payment and lose the joy of the Lord. Because if you sort of take, I must be devoted to the Lord, I must turn up at every single meeting and always pray at 8 o'clock, no, 5:30 in the morning. You know, I'm going to be devoted. And then you can have that nice sweet feeling on the inside, I'm a devoted one. You know, and you've lost it. You've wasted all your time, and you could have stayed in bed till 8:30. You know, so the moral of the story is stay in bed. No. The moral of the story is that lamp is so hot. The moral of this story, this one. I'm boiling standing there. The moral of this story is you're so inspired by the mercy and the grace of God that your life becomes devoted to Him. Yes. Okay? So, 1 Peter, here we go. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, the very first line of the letter. And it says, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, and Scarborough. Yes. All right, you are the elect. Amen. This letter is to you. Amen. Because it says, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Everybody in this room, on a purple seat, you've been chosen by God. Amen. You've been chosen and placed where God has placed you, and He wants to use you where you are placed. Yes. Okay? All right, let's read on. But it's an important point. Peter starts with this principle, you've been chosen.
Yes.
You've been chosen. Kingdom Faith Yorkshire, you have been chosen as a body to go and make the name of Jesus known and make the world a better place. Because the world's going to be a better place when people are getting saved and families are getting restored and people are coming off drugs and people are coming off drink and Christians are the salt and light of the world. Rather than miserable old things that scowl at people. Okay? That's definitely not preferable. Anyway, so the chosen, according to the foreknowledge of God, he knew what he was doing, in other words. It wasn't you sneaked in when he wasn't looking. He knew what he was doing when he called you to be part of the church. Now, verse 3. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He's given us a resurrection into living hope through the power of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yeah, I think you've all gone to sleep now I've finished the joke. Okay, we need some amens here. You agree with the word, you take on board the word. So, you have a living hope.
Amen.
Amen. A living hope. It's something that's active. It's something that inspires you. It's a passion that moves you on.
Yes?
In his mercy, he's given you... 1:3. In his mercy, he has given us birth into a living hope. Yes. It's not something dead. It's something sure and certain. Jesus Christ is coming back.
Amen.
We have a sure and certain hope. We have a place in heaven.
Yes.
You have a sure and certain hope. We have been saved if you know the Lord Jesus. You are walking out your salvation and you will be saved when he comes back again.
Yes.
Amen. This is sure. This is certain.
Yes.
If you remain in him and follow him, there's nothing, absolutely nothing that can drag you away from him. Nothing high enough, nothing low enough, nothing wide enough, nothing deep enough, all the nothing can stop you getting into heaven because Jesus has chosen you.
Amen.
I like the early amen there. That was a good one. Okay, so you've got this. He's kept... there's something... And then another thing here. Where is it? Oh, yeah. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then there's this next bit. And into an inheritance that can never perish, yes, spoil, or fade. Amen. Now there's your reward. Yes. Not something from the devil. Not a little bit of offence. And in fact, when you take offence, or when you take a badge and love your badge, you know, or whatever it is, it's nibbling. That's the kind of thing that prevents you from obtaining your full reward in heaven. Okay, nothing can take away what you've already got, but you can be stopped from getting more if you want to wander off and do something else. You have a reward. Yeah. Sometimes we don't mention this enough as a church. You have a reward. Yeah. And what you are doing now is going to affect that reward. God has got something great for you. Yeah. And the more you walk in obedience with him, the more you allow the Lord to use you, the bigger that reward is.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't go, it's not quite PC, is it? Not quite political, not Pastor Colin, political correctness. You know, it's not quite there, rewarding people. Oh, well, we're all equal, we should. Heaven's not a communist state. Okay, you are going to be rewarded. Okay, it's not a parliamentary democracy where everybody votes to see what Mike's going to get. The Lord is the boss. It's an absolute dictatorship, and he will decide.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. So you've got a great reward ahead.
Amen.
Do you ever think about your reward? Do you ever think, sometimes when you are getting up and praying in the morning, do you ever think there's a reward? Yeah, there is. There's a reward. And this is what inspires us. Clive was speaking on Sunday, last Sunday, as we said, we were down in Horsham, and he was speaking on volunteers and the spirit of volunteerism, and he was sort of trying to draw the distinctions between this spirit and the not spirit, really. There's volunteerism, he kept calling it. But I want to just develop the thought a little bit, in case you've listened to the talk, I've thrown that bit in. I'm going to say you're not a volunteer. You've been chosen.
Yeah.
You didn't have any choice. And because you've been chosen and you've got a reward, you don't need the devil to pay you for what you do. You do whatever you do within the church and the world for the love of God. Yeah, and the joy of the Lord just filling you. You do what you do here in this church because you've caught the vision of the house. Yeah, you've caught the vision that says Jesus is in the house, and you know that means you, and you know as you step out and do stuff, Jesus is going to explode out of you. Yeah? I love this, don't you? Verse 8. Though you've not seen him, you love him. I guess that applies to nearly everybody in the room, maybe even everybody in this room. Though you've not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. And I love the next bit. Can you see it there? And are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Inexpressible and glorious joy. Well, some Christians are flipping good disguise artists. I mean, if you read on after that, it says, "For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." You know, sometimes Christians focus so much on the fact they've been saved, they forget they're being saved, and that they will be saved, and this is rather cool. We can actually be excited that we're going to go to heaven. And in fact, this little bit I'm doing here, this little skipping up and down, if you look into the Greek of these words, because I like a little bit of Greek, okay, the word joy is agaleo, or agalaleo, or something like that, anyway, agaleo, and it means exult. Leap for joy.
Yeah.
Excessive delight.
Yes.
Not just delight in your Lord, but excessively delight. You know, when I'm sort of saying, come on, let's jump for the Lord. It's actually, I'm just saying, you know, be who you are in God.
Yes.
Let it out. Yes. Don't just bury it down on the inside. I'm not letting that out. They might see you. I'm happy. It means skipping. You know, we can, hallelujah, praise the Lord. In a minute, I might get all the men skipping around the church. Or maybe not, because the sight would probably not fill us with ecstatic joy. And Mark and Judith might begin to wonder, oh my goodness, should we really have come here? And behind them are Brian and Shona, who are still on the way here, so we don't want to put them off yet. It's good to have you guys with us. And Naomi. Yes, this joy, it's leaping. Yeah, so often church has enabled us Christians to bury it in the ground and put sort of a headstone at the end and it says, joy, deceased. Well, she's alive. Amen. That's just the word joy that's in that little passage there. Then there's the inexplicable. All right. That's anakalalitos. And it basically literally means not able to be spoken of. There's so much joy, you can't possibly describe it. We forget all this stuff. You know, when we turn up for the prayer meeting, we're not doing it because we're volunteers. We do it because we've got the vision. Yes. And we're devoted to God because we realize we are saved. Yes. This isn't just a five-letter word. Daniel's just having a headache at the back now. Right. Oh dear. And what's the other word there? Oh yeah, filled with glorious joy. And the word glorious is from the word doxa, which means the glory of the Lord. So the joy that you're filled with is actually the glory of the Lord. Yay! When somebody smiles, it's the glory of the Lord coming out of their face. When somebody's eyes are twinkling, you're seeing the glory of the Lord. Yes. This is awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, we're not to be serious old persons. Yeah, I know what you were thinking. We're not, and we don't have to be. But we don't. But what we could do is, oh, I've got to be joyful. I must be joyful. No, we're just joyful because we look in the Word and see, oh, wow. You see, you've received the mercy of God. Yes. The mercy of God qualifies the disqualified.
Yes.
Yeah, those who've been written off, mercy puts back in a place again. Yeah, mercy dismantles the gallows. We deserved a death sentence, but mercy dismantled it. Mercy cancelled the firing squad that actually everybody deserves for their path away from God. But mercy says, no, it shall not be done. My son died that they might have a place with me. Sack the firing squad. The mercy of God ensures you will not get what you deserve. And the grace of God ensures you will get what you don't deserve. Mercy and grace together. So similar, but so fantastic. So awesome. And listen, God's building a church here. And some of you are visitors here, and where you've come from, God is building your church. But I tell you something, He builds with stones that the builders previously rejected. We're a bunch of rejected stones that the Lord is chopping the edges off a bit. Sometimes we notice. Sometimes we notice them in others. But and he's slotting them all together to be a glorious house. Because it's said that Jesus is in the house. And He's building a beautiful house. He's building a palace fit for a king. Amen? And we're wonderfully dressed stones now, not some rejected piece of rubble. A lot of us have been rejected pieces of rubble. You felt like you were on the rubbish tip. You felt like you were in the skip. And the Lord rummaged through the skip and found this grotty piece of stone and dressed it all and cleared it all up again and says, that's for my palace.
Amen.
Amen. This is why we're devoted to the Lord, because it's such a tremendous vision and such an enormous way ahead. Who wants to be a volunteer when you can be part of the house?
That's
right. You know, you don't volunteer to help with tea and coffee. You do it because you've got the vision. You don't volunteer to stand at the bottom of the stairs and smile at people and let your eyes twinkle the glory of the Lord at them. You do it because you've caught the vision of the house and you're a dressed stone for the palace.
Yes.
Amen. You don't go up to Lamplu and dig in the gardens or cut down trees or cut the grass or whatever because you're volunteering for something. You do it because you've caught the vision for the house.
Yes.
Amen. This is so much more than volunteers.
Yes,
sir. Anybody want to be a volunteer? So at the end, we'll have the notices. Can we have some volunteers to help with the creche, please? No, we don't want any more volunteers. It's not often you hear that in church. But people who serve the Lord, who do it with the joy of the Lord, and are not looking for reward. They want to bang on the dustbins for free.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, beware of nice old men.
Hey.
I didn't mean you, Keith. Oh dear, you're leading me astray again. Right. Okay, let's go over to 2 Samuel, because that's another bit of this story that we are going to look at. Now, as I said, Clive mentioned this last Sunday, and if you were there Thursday night, and wasn't it an awesome night, Thursday night, the God encounter? It was a very special night where God was releasing our inner man. And we listened, or were led by, a guy called Graham Cook on an MP3 recording. He wasn't there in person. And she was thinking, why didn't I know about that? But of course, you wouldn't think like that anymore, because you know that'd be the devil rewarding you, and you want to bash on dustbins. Anyway, we were led by Graham Cook, and one of the things he mentioned was this little passage, this funny little obscure passage in 2 Samuel chapter 23. If you want to flip on over there, if you didn't stick your thumb in earlier. And here we are, 2 Samuel chapter 23. Let me see, where am I going to go from? Yeah, verse 8, okay? These are the names of David's mighty men. Who wants to be one of the mighty ones of God? Well, a third of the room. Come on, come on. Who wants to be one of the mighty ones of God? All right. You've been chosen for it, so you might as well accept it. Okay? Right. So these are the names of David's mighty men. In this room are Jesus' mighty men. So these guys aren't quite so good, but we're going to look at them as for an example. And I am serious when I say that, because you've got the Spirit of God in you. So you're far more than ever. You can do far more than these guys ever could. Anyway. These are the names of David's mighty men. Joe. A Tachmonite was chief of the three. He raised his spear against 800 men whom he killed in one encounter. You released that inner man on Thursday night? Anything comes against you, it's dead. Amen? The demonic doesn't have a chance. Depression doesn't have a chance. Sickness doesn't have a hope. Amen. Even 800 sicknesses at once hitting your body does not have a hope, because you are greater than Joseph Bahishabeth. Okay? I could say that perfectly this morning. Next to him was Eleazar, son of Dodai the Ahohite. As one of the three mighty men, he was with David when they taunted the Philistines gathering at Pasdamin for battle. Then the men of Israel retreated, but he stood his ground and struck down the Philistines till his hand grew tired and froze to the sword. Yeah. Are you ready to fight with a sword until the sword has to be prized from your hand? You will not let the word of God go. Amen. Sometimes, you know, if you're using work tools, you know, like I fight, particularly like a hammer, and you're banging on it forever, and you come to stop and you realize you can't let go of the hammer, can you? It's like, yeah. You peel your fingers off to let go of the hammer. And that was, that's like it was with this guy with his sword. He had the sword in his hand and you could not get it out without trying to peel his fingers off. Well, this is what the saints of God are like with the word of God. You can't peel their fingers off the word of God. They've always got the word of God to hand. They're memorizing it. They're practicing it. They're living it. They're reading it. They've got one with them at church, whatever. But you won't get them away from the word. That's us. Yeah? Because we're not volunteers. We're the chosen. Yeah. Chosen, not frozen. Included, not deluded. Remember that one? Yeah. Okay. And then we go on. And this was the bit that they were referring to. The Lord brought about a great victory that day. The troops returned to Eleazar, but only to strip the dead. There's a reward. But anyway, verse 11. Next to him was Shammah, son of Agi the Harite. When the Philistines banded together at a place where there was a field full of lentils, Israel's troops fled from them. But Shammah took his stand in the middle of a field. He defended it and struck the Philistines down, and the Lord brought about a great victory. It was a field of lentils. Lentils. I mean, they make nice dal curry, but I don't think they even knew that then. David probably had lots of lentils in India and loved them, but fight to the death in a field full of them? Not me, said most of the army of Israel, but one guy who got the vision of the house stood and said, this field belongs to the Lord. This field belongs to me, or David. This field is not going to go to the enemy. And you can look around the church and think, well, they're just a bunch of lentils. But of course you wouldn't. But you could. And you think, I'm not letting the enemy have them. Where's so-and-so this week? I'll give them a phone call. I'll give them a ring. The enemy's not having them. I haven't seen, I've got to try and think of a name that doesn't exist of somebody in this church. I haven't seen Gertrude for 2 weeks. I'll give her a ring. I'll pop round and see her. I'll see how she's doing. I haven't seen Arnold now for a week or two. I'll give him a ring. I'll pop round. Soon, nobody will dare miss church because they'll get 97 phone calls the day after. But there is a seriousness in here that we're not going to allow the enemy to steal the field. And the part that another thing, you see, we're in an army, right? And we're marching in this army. Well, maybe we're marching a bit better. But anyway, we're marching in an army. And my job is to lead the army. God gives me the vision to say, this is where we're going. Come on, guys, let's go. This is where we're going to go. This is the word of the Lord. And you've all been hearing the word of the Lord. And you say, yeah, that's what God's been saying to me. And you come here on a Sunday and God packs out what God's been saying to you. And we realize we're hearing God together and we move forward. But the leaders are at the front. The stragglers are at the back. And you don't want your leaders to go around to the back and start picking your stragglers up or nobody knows where they're going. Right. It's not because I'm mean and nasty, though I might be. But I know my job is to keep my eyes on the Lord and walk at the front. It's like in the early church, they had to appoint, the leadership were told to focus on the word and the Lord. And they brought others in to serve. Now, because they weren't volunteers, oh, I'll help out with the widow's dinner. You know, because they weren't volunteers, but people of the house, you then find that people like Philip are seeing miracles happen. And that's the whole thing about the people of the house, the people who've got the vision. You see the work of the Lord happening. It's 2 weeks now till deadline weekend, Strong Tower Conference. That weekend, God is releasing and anointing for miracles amongst us.
Yes.
You want to be ready to receive. In these 2 weeks, make sure you're prepared, consecrated, set apart for the Lord, ready to receive what the Lord is going to impart that weekend. I don't know how he's going to do it. It might be laying on of hands. It might be when you're worshiping. It doesn't matter how the Lord does it, but there's going to be a release amongst us and all the guests who are coming on that weekend. There's something special going to be released to enable us to walk in what God is talking.
Amen.
All right? So, Shammah, he defended his field of lentils. Are you up for defending the field of lentils? Actually, God said he's going to give us vineyards.
Yes.
Remember the three-year plan he's given us. The first year is a year of reaping where we've not sown. We're already seeing that. The second year is reaping where we've not sown and reaping from those who were reaped the first year. In other words, their friends are being saved. And the third year was the planting of vineyards. But when you want to plant a vineyard, which brings much fruit, you have to plan. You have to know what kind of grapes you've got. You've got to know what kind of soil you've got. You've got to know what the climate's like in that location. You've got to know how much rain you get. So now is the time. Now is the time to be thinking, what's the vineyard? And preparing. We don't start preparing for the vineyards in 3 years' time. Even now, amongst the field of lentils, God will be planting visions for vineyards. And now's the time to get prepared. You know, if God, part of your vineyard might be to go to another country, then start learning the language. God might be saying that you're going to start a significant ministry here in Scarborough. Start getting the skills you need. Do you need qualifications in the world? The world is paper mad. You have to have certificates for this and certificates for that. If you've got a vision for doing something, can you get secularly trained as well? So that the world will look at you and think, that's okay, we can trust them. Yeah? We've got time. And God's not going to tell me what all the vineyards are. Because there's a body. I'm not going to come up to you and say, you need to be planting such and such a vineyard. God will excite something in you. And some of you, you will get vineyards that won't ever be planted. Because the Lord will test you to see whether you are in submission to the vision of the house. It's a bit of a, he does that sometimes. You get something, you get a burning passion for something from the Lord, and you go to the leadership, and they say, we don't get that from God. What do? You rejoice. Because the Lord has tested your heart and found that you're not wanting. You're ready to go. Amen. In fact, if that's never, ever happened to you, it's almost certain to. But now you've been forewarned, it doesn't need to. No. Tie ourselves in knots. I'm going to wind up because we're coming to the end. But, I've got a couple of things left. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Right, okay. I was thinking of the M&S advert. I wrote that down here. You know the Marks and Spencer's advert? As I was thinking about this church and praying this through this morning, I just saw this advert. You know, well corny, I'm not doing it. But you just see this group of people come in and you hear the voiceover just saying, "This is not just a church." "This is a Jesus church." These are not just volunteers. These are people with the vision for the house. Remember, God builds with stones that others have rejected. Right, flip back to Peter, and that's where we're going to finish. So, we just looked at filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, which means, okay? "For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Now, Peter goes on, concerning this salvation, there's this awesome bit. The prophets who spoke of the grace, the prophets, in other words, the Old Testament, who spoke of the grace that was to come to you, just think, Shammah didn't know. He might have heard Samuel talking of something that was to come, but he could never have it. He could never have the spirit of the mighty men that Jesus imparts. They searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. They were the other side of the cross. This is post-cross. This is post-resurrection. The mighty men in this room can do far more than the greatest stories in the old. Moses was a hero, you have more. Abraham was a man of faith, you have more. Jonah was a man who repented and then had great faith, but you have more. Isaiah wrote a whole book of prophecy. You can hear God better than Isaiah. Have you thought about that? You hear God better than Isaiah. Because the Spirit of God lives in you, and we're post-cross. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. They went through battles like Shammah. He fought a physical battle. It was for you, so that you could learn from his life for the life we now live. These guys are our heroes, but to them, we're their heroes. They spoke of things by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Angels long to have what you have. Therefore, it's one of those biblical therefores. So now you've got all this. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. It's time for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children. Do you know that also means listening, children? In other words, you're obedient because you're listening to the Lord. You're listening to the Word. You're listening to the Spirit and following what he says. Do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. In other words, you've still got some evil desires, but you don't have to conform to them anymore. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, "Be holy because I am holy." Amen? That's where we're going to finish, with that word, be holy. Hagios. Be set apart. It means be devoted, be consecrated, be pure, be clean. In other words, don't struggle to get to this place. Live, you were saved, you were placed in this place. Now live out that place you've been given, because you will be saved. You've been saved, you are being saved, you will be saved. So often we only focus on that you've been saved, but the Bible uses tenses which say saved, being saved, will be saved. Amen? Hallelujah. And perhaps a final thought, as you be holy, because you're bound to make some mistakes. That earlier thought that I said, God builds with the stones that others have rejected. I like that. Amen? Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.